Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 42 of the Panelcast. This is Brian.
I'm AJ.
And we're going to try to keep this one short and sweet this time around, since we kind of get a little long-winded. We're going to do a little bit of news bits and a little bit of catching up on what we've been up to and things we're looking forward to. So we're going to go ahead, take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. I want everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm AJ, and in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the news bits that's going on. So, Brian, what bits do you have for us?
I've got quite a few this time around. I'm going to start off here with another one of those stories that just sort of warms my heart. The Strong National Museum of Play in Manhattan is going to be opening up with this little sort of tribute to comic books. They're doing a thing, I guess it's mostly for kids. I've never actually been there, but I would assume by Museum of Play that it's for kids. They're doing a sort of like tracing a 70-year history of comic books, and they're going to have just all kinds of like different art activities, and they'll have different stuff there, sort of like telling the backstories of a lot of really famous characters like Superman and Iron Man and Batman, and it just seems like it's something that the blurb on it was kind of small, not a whole lot of information. But if anybody is interested, they can go to museumofplay.org and find out. And I just think this is another one of those things that just kind of makes me happy that, you know, especially museums are starting to recognize comics as a legitimate form.
As a viable art form.
Right. It's something that is worthy of being in a museum.
Right. That's awesome. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we've got another little story here. This is about DC Comics. And they are going to be, I guess, this is sort of, I don't know if it's related to their whole Blackest Night thing, but the stories that I've read seem to imply it is. And basically what they're doing is bringing back four issues from four lines of comics that are no longer published. Those titles that are being brought back are going to be Phantom Stranger, Adam and Hawkman, Weird Western Tales, and Suicide Squad. Again, we've said before we have never really read the Blackest Night comic, but haven't really been able to follow along with it too well. So I don't know if this is just sort of like a marketing thing that they're doing, or if it's going to have something to do with the Blackest Night storyline at some point.
Well, I've actually been following the Blackest Night storyline, not all the spin-offs and everything, but the actual core storyline. And it seems like what's happening is that they're bringing back all the dead DC heroes to combat all the living ones. So I'm guessing that that's what's happening with this revitalization of those titles, and that they're bringing back these characters from the dead, almost in a zombie-like fashion. So that's probably why they're bringing back the titles themselves, so that they can give the readers an idea of who they are. So that they're not going, well, who are those random people and why should I care?
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense then. And we got a story here, again, with the wonderful world of the MPAA and all of those assholes. BSA, RIAA. Releasing, we've talked before about them releasing these like propaganda comics to try to teach kids the evils of piracy and whatever else. And it just looks like, I've just seen a lot of stories lately where they're really making a push towards getting more out. There was one story in particular where the MPAA is apparently making a really big push to send their anti-piracy comic books to New Zealand for whatever reason. I don't know if maybe New Zealand is a haven of piracy, but
a lot of the sites that are doing the hosting and stuff, the Pirate Bay and so on like that, are either in New Zealand or in Sweden, because they have the non-extradition law and servers out there.
Well, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, the servers out there, they don't care about what's going on, as long as they're getting the money.
Yeah, I just figured I would mention again, because I saw four different stories in my Google feed about these anti-piracy comic books coming out. So apparently they're making a big push on it again. It's not really surprising. It seems like every time somebody stops paying attention to the whole piracy hoopla, that RIAA and MPAA have to rear their ugly heads up again and say, no, look at us. But as a sort of counterpoint to that, I thought I would mention a site that I found that was pretty interesting. It's called the Center for the Study of the Public Domain. And you can go onto this website. It's www.law.duke.edu. It's for Duke University. And they actually have a link on their site that you can go to where they have basically links to a bunch of people that have done comics, and they've actually released comics of stories that are all in the public domain. So it's kind of just like a snub, I think. There's a lot of just like, you know, Creative Commons and free comic book stuff. So and they've been featured on NPR and a lot of other things.
Nice.
So I definitely go check that out. Let's see, what other stories have we got here? Got another DC story. And apparently, DC has decided that they want to be the only ones to ship out comics. Because Diamond Distributors, if anybody knows anything about comics, the Diamond Comic Distributors are basically the be-all and all of the comic book industry.
They're the distribution Nazis.
They sort of have their fingers in everything. Yeah, they've got their fingers in everything comic book related. So they decided their Diamond Distributors is doing a blackout last week in December. So that would mean that December 30th is normally when comics ship out.
Right.
They're doing a blackout. And DC decided, screw that. We're going to release Blackest Night number 6, and we're going to distribute it ourselves. I find this story interesting, and this was something that we discussed on Munchkin Night at Four Color Fantasies, where this could be turn out to be something interesting and more than just DC wanting to ship a comic, because this could lead to you know, maybe a little bit of a power struggle with Diamond.
Right. Well, as it is,
depending on how well it works out.
Right. I mean, they save 3% in shipping costs by distributing it themselves. So it may turn out that they go, well, why don't we continue to save the 3% from now on and just ship out themselves? I mean, they're big enough that, I mean, they got Time Warner that owns them. They have enough companies underneath them that, you know, they can afford to do the shipping and distribution themselves and just cut out Diamond altogether. I mean, if you look
not
at it,
that,
I mean, Diamond Distributors
to...
kind of has a monopoly on the whole situation.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is that I don't think at this point DC doesn't really have to worry about Diamond trying to blacklist them, because who's not going to buy DC comics? What comic book store in the world is going to say, no, well, you're not going through Diamond, so no.
I don't want to carry Superman
happen, so.
And Batman ever again, so yeah, let's move on to somebody else. Yeah, that's just retarded. As it is, though, this whole thing is kind of a good deal for us as indie comic people. Because during that week of the Diamond Distributors blackout, Four Color Fantasies is holding an independent comic book week. So what they're going to do is they're going to allow independent comic book makers and creators to come into the store and sell their indie comics in the store. So, because again...
Which is going to be awesome because...
Right, because it's new, because there's no mainstream comics. So your comic book is going to be sitting up on the shelves next to the Blackest Night, which will be the only comic book shipping that week. So it'll be an awesome chance for you to get your stuff into a comic book store and go from there.
Now, is there a blackout thing that Diamond does? Is this like something they do every year, or is this something they just decided for this year?
You know, I am unfamiliar with Diamond Distributors, their shipping methods and their policies, so I'm not sure if this is an every year thing, but I sure as hell am going to help take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking if it was every year, it would be kind of awesome if comic book retailers could kind of get together to do some sort of like independent promotions.
Yeah, that'd be
comics.
Awesome. I mean,
because it seems like a lot of comic book stores really don't promote indies at all.
No, a lot of them don't. I mean, we lucked out in meeting up with Chris of Four Color Fantasy because he's a hardcore believer of the independent comic book scene. So, you know, if you can find a comic book store like that anywhere near you, then you should take advantage of the fact and you know, try and put out your own stuff at the same time.
Definitely. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back.
Awesome. Right back, guys.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
And we're back. And, all right, now, AJ, you've got a few news items yourself that you wanted to discuss, if I remember correctly.
You do indeed remember correctly, sir.
Sweet brain work today.
Yes, your brain is working. You know, those little electrodes that we popped in your ears the other night, they seem to be doing just the job just right. So the couple stories I've got this week. First off, I got to bring up the fact, and I'm sure you guys have seen it all around the news feeds, they've released the cast listing for Predators. For those of you who don't know what Predators is, it's the remake and reimagining of the original movie Predator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Bonaventura, in which an alien race comes to Earth and uses it as a hunting ground and training ground, collecting trophies and so on and so forth. Well, they're redoing it, and it's being redone, well, it's being produced by Robert Rodriguez, famous for doing, you know, The Grindhouse, Spy Kids, Sin City, so on. And, he released the cast list, and I've got to say, I can't stop giggling over who's going to be in it. He's cast Adrian Brody as the leader and skilled tracker Marine, and Topher Grace as a would-be unassuming
accountant.
Oh, I am
type so actually, there.
Yeah, he's actually playing a serial killer. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking at this list, and I just don't see how any of these people are going to work out, but okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, but I have one thing to say to that.
What's that?
Heath Ledger, man. Heath Ledger.
Okay, you know, I will give you the Heath Ledger thing, but the Heath Ledger wasn't playing a Marine. He wasn't playing a survivalist.
Well, that's true.
He was playing a psychotic killer that could be portrayed by anybody, you know? And we've seen Topher Grace playing a badass.
I was just kind of wondering, like, what the logic steps were that went from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Adrian Brody. Those guys are kind of polar opposites in terms of everything.
Well, maybe he's trying to do that whole, you know, like, maybe he's trying to do, like, We Are with ZKS, where the whole everyman thing, where every man has to deal with the stuff, as opposed to it just happens to fall on the broad shoulders of a buffed out, you know, Supermax guy. So maybe he's trying
to make it a little more realistic.
Right, maybe he's trying to find that aspect of it. But I thought that they had done that with Predator 2. I mean, Danny Glover and Paul Rubens and all that, you know, Paul Rodriguez.
It's, right, yeah.
You know, I found that to be an awesome movie because it wasn't every man, you know, movie. But I just don't see what he's going with this. But again, I'm a huge fan of the Predator series and Robert Rodriguez, so I'll be checking it out either way. Plus, he did cast Danny Trejo, and Danny Trejo is the man. So, and he plays a hardened warrior with twin Uzis strapped to his back. So I'm down to check that one out.
I'll wait for the clips to start coming out and see how it looks.
Right. What else we got going on? Recently, Jon Favreau, director of Iron Man and all that, has announced the fact that he will not be doing the Avengers film. He initially stated that he really wanted to do Iron Man 1 and 2 and then continue on into the Avengers film, but he decided to back out of it. And he's quoted as saying this: "Though I'll have to find a different director because I'm not going to be available. It's something I'm being the executive producer on, so I'll definitely have input and say. It's going to be hard because I was so involved in creating the world of Iron Man, and Iron Man is very much a tech-based hero. And then with the Avengers, you're going to be introducing some supernatural aspects because of Thor. How you mix the two of those works very well in the comic books, but it's going to take a lot of thoughtfulness to make that all work and not blow the reality that we've created." So basically he's saying that as far as the tech part of Iron Man goes, he's down to do that, but he doesn't know how to incorporate the actual superhero-ness of everybody else into the show and doesn't want to be a part of it because he doesn't want to mess it up. Now, I got to give it up for John on that one because he actually sees that he has a fault and that he has a chance to make a mistake, so he wants to back out and let somebody else who may be able to do it better come in and give us the experience that we want. So for that part,
well,
John...
Not only that, it makes me happy that there's actually somebody involved in the project. that's thinking about that, that's thinking along those lines, that actually is thinking about how to, you know, make the comic work. Because it just seems like so many of these movies, they come out and they're just like, it doesn't matter, just do it.
Right, he actually gives a shit about the fans. Not just the movie fans, but the comic book fans. I mean, the man cares. That's why he's staying on to executive produce it. But, you know, he doesn't want to direct it because he doesn't know how to deal with that. He's saying flat out, like, I want it to be good. I just don't want to be to blame.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, my hat's off to him. I appreciate the sentiment and what he's trying to do. And now I'm even more looking forward to it. I mean, as much as I thought, okay, John Favreau, he did a great job with Iron Man. We all know that. And I was pretty amped to see him do the Avengers, but, you know, now that we know that he's going to be making sure that somebody who can do it right is going to be doing it, I'm more amped for the project to come through. So, as more news comes out, stay tuned, and we'll let you know. We'll post it up on the site as to what's going to happen with that. The last bit of news I wanted to talk about real quick is Girls Drawing Girls. As many of you know, that we've got their banners up on the site. We're huge fans of their work. Well, this weekend they're doing a show at the Hyena Gallery in Burbank. Well, they'll be doing their Halloween-themed artwork and posting it up on in the museum and stuff and having it on display. They will be having a reception Saturday, October 17th at 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. It's in Burbank, California, like I said. So we are going to be heading out there to try and check it out, maybe talk to a couple of the Peak Girls and get some pictures done like we did with their last show. It should be pretty interesting. And again, we're huge fans of the work, so.
Yeah, and it was nice, too, like, actually getting to really get more of a chance to talk with them. Daisy, who normally runs most of the events, is a really fantastic person. She's really nice. And it would be great, too, to get a chance to do some more interviews with them.
Indeed. So I guess that's not the last bit of news, since we still got some time. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Los Angeles Comic-Con, which is coming up. We had a big announcement going on about that. That came in my email today, and that's because J. Michael Straczynski will be at the Los Angeles Comic-Con on November 8th, 2009, along with Clayton Crane and a 40th anniversary screening of The Green Slime, all to be featured there. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with Straczynski's work, he just ended Thor, he did Babylon 5, which he's most famous for, and just a bunch of other work that he's got out there. So, if you're a huge fan of Straczynski, he will be out at the Los Angeles Comic-Con. And if you've been there before, Brian, you and I have been there, we can attest to the fact that it's a very small venue. And so, you know, you get kind of more of a personal feel for it when the people do show up to sign for things.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, it's only $8 to go. $8 and you can have your stuff signed by the man. So come on out and check it out. On the subject of Comic-Cons, we've talked about this guy a lot on the show. We just talked about him a couple minutes ago. Chris Brady, the owner of Four Color Fantasies, is finally going to be able to host his own comic book convention. That will be taking place at the Rose Bowl the second Sunday of December, I'm sorry. Now, for those of you who've never been to a Rose Bowl flea market, it's host to about 15,000 to 20,000 people wandering around. This is one of the biggest flea markets out there in the world. People try and come out there. You know, they make it a point. They travel across states to come out to this thing. And so Chris has been able to sign up for hosting a comic book convention at the location. So for those of you interested in going or even having putting up a booth and displaying your stuff there, you can contact Chris at rbccs@yahoo.com, and he'll be able to give you the information on how to sign up for it, how to get in there. For everybody else, keep that date saved on your calendar. It's the second Sunday of December at the Rose Bowl. It's going to be huge, and we'll actually have a booth there and be hosting some panels as well, so it'll be pretty cool.
I find that very exciting.
Yes, yes indeed. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Brandi Offset of BrandiOffset.com, and every week I listen to Forbidden Panel's Panelcast because AJ and Brian are the coolest dudes that I know, and because I like to hear my advertisement in between the panelcast.
And we're back. And from what I understand, AJ, there's been a certain video game that's been controlling your life for a while?
Yes. Yes, there is. I have been playing Uncharted 2. I talked about it on the last panel cast while playing the multiplayer demo. Well, the actual game came out this week on Monday, and that's what I've been doing all week long, playing this game. So basically, this game is, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Uncharted, it's about this guy named Drake. And what he does, he's like a fortune hunter. So he runs around trying to find treasures and stuff, like Indiana Jones. And a mix of Lara Croft as well. The first game was innovative in Brianna's time, and it was the launch title for the PlayStation 3 when it originally came out. It was one of the most awesome games I've ever played. The dynamics and the graphics and everything alone just stood out and was amazing to me. And being a flagship title showed exactly the powers and the capabilities that the PlayStation can handle. Now with Uncharted 2 coming out, it just basically took what they knew that they did right and expanded it and did even better. This time you're following around. Originally you were following around Sir Francis Drake and all those stories about the City of Lost Gold. Montezuma? No, not Montezuma. What am I talking about? I don't remember.
One of those guys.
El Dorado! That's what it was. They were following around trying to find a lost city of gold called El Dorado. This time around, they're looking for Marco Polo and his exploits. And as many of you who follow up in history know, that basically about 75% of Marco Polo's travels were undocumented. And he wrote a journal on what he did with his life, but most of it were either unfound or lost, as well as untranslated properly. He started off with 13 ships and about 18,000 men, and when they finally caught up to him, he was down to one ship and 18 men. So what had happened between that time and there is pretty much undocumented. Well, this game focuses on that and talks about the story about what happened to those 13 ships and what they were doing, and it's basically looking for, I don't remember. All I know is that I've been playing the game. It's an awesome game, guys. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, or if you have a PlayStation 3 or don't have one, this is one of those games where you'd want to buy a PlayStation 3 to play. Everybody across the board has been giving it nothing but 10 out of 10 reviews. Graphic-wise, it's just gorgeous. Gameplay is stunning and amazing, and the things that you can do and the missions that you have are just phenomenal. It is not an open-world game, but it is an open-world interface, where you can pretty much mess around with everything that's going on, but you do have a definitive line that you need to follow in order for the game to be completed. Action-wise, it's just non-stop, top-notch shit. And it's just a lot of fun. And like I said, you get to learn a lot of stuff while you're going along. Granted, you get to mix up with the supernatural aspect every now and then, but I think that kind of adds to it. And the fact that we really don't know what's going on with the world and what we could find if we actually explored all of it. So, and that's just the single player. I've determined myself to beat the story mode before I even get started on the multiplayer mode, as far as the full story game goes out. So I haven't gotten that far yet, but story mode, I'm about 20 hours in, and I think I'm about 50% of the way through the game. They've expanded how long it takes for you to play the game so that you can enjoy it more. Most of the people know that Uncharted 1 was kind of short, and we're a little disappointed in that. This one actually has some in-depth story and time that you're placing into it. A lot of goals that you need to reach, a lot of characters that you're interfacing with, and the voice acting is top-notch. So if you get a chance, pick up this game, play it, let me know what you're doing, and then find me on the multiplayer. It's Draven, D-R-A-Y-V-N, and then we can throw down some multiplayer aspects of it. So yeah, it's like a mix. It's Lara Croft on crack. That's what it is, and it's the shit. And I can't say enough good things about
it. Without the boobs, right?
Without the boobs. Though there are some pretty nice boobs going on in there. Pretty nice boobs. So yeah, Uncharted 2, go check it out. Brian?
Well, I've got one more little story here. It's about Universal Pictures. Just picked up another comic book. It kind of goes along with a couple of different things we talk about, where, you know, all the comic books getting bought up into movies, and also comes into play with actresses and actors getting involved in comics. This particular one is done by Rashida Jones, the actress, and the comic is called Frenemy of the State. I thought this story was a little interesting because it just with so many of the stories that have been out right now talking about female-driven movies and how there's a lot of critics saying that female-driven movies only do well if they have a lot of special effects and stuff in them because nobody cares about female lead actresses. And I think that's kind of a fucked up thing to say. So I'm glad to see that somebody out there still thinks that we need to have more movies that have strong female characters in them. I personally don't know anything about the comic Frenemy of the State. I hadn't heard of it until I read the stories on it. I do think it's kind of funny that apparently everybody in Hollywood has their own comic book. At this point, I don't even get surprised anymore when any celebrity, you know, turns out it has their own comic book line. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, buddy.
But then from what I understand, pretty much everybody that's been on that show, The Office, which that's mostly what I remember Rashida Jones from, they're all basically a bunch of nerds. So
yeah,
anybody from
too.
That show that has their own comic book, yeah, the writers. The writers and nerds. So that doesn't really surprise me at all, because from what I understand, a lot of people that actually act on the show have also had their hand in writing for it as well. So I'll probably want to actually go check out this comic so I can get an idea of what the movie is going to be about, and then go from there. I don't know. You got anything else?
Yeah, I want to do a couple quick things real quick. Let you know that one of my favorite comic books of all time is releasing its third volume, and that's Powers. It's coming out here in the next week or so. We've got a couple other new releases that are coming out this week. 28 Days Later, number 3. The Anchor by Boom Studios. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, number 4. Boom Studios is also putting out a new comic book called Die Hard Year 1. It explains the story of John McClane as a beat cop and how he got to where he is in the movies. I Sell the Dead, number 1, is coming out, which is based off the movie, which I'm not sure a lot of you have seen, but it's a pretty cool movie. Beautiful Creatures, number 2, We Kill Monsters, number 4, Kill Audio, number 1. Those are all coming out from Boom Studios, as well as Red 5 Comics. Those are right now two of my favorite comic book companies that are putting out all their stuff. So if you get a chance, head down to your stores and check them out. I also wanted to talk real quick about the Alternative Press Expo, which is happening this weekend in San Francisco. If you have a chance to go look, it is mostly a small press venue where it's not a lot of mainstream comic book presenters will be there, but a lot of the small press, indie comics and stuff like that will be out there. Our buddy John from High Tower Comics will be out there promoting his stuff. So if you get a chance, head over to the Alternative Press Expo in San Francisco at the Concourse Exhibition Center. It'll be going on the 17th and the 18th. Check it out. Go say hi to John, and he'll give you some free stuff as long as you tell him that you listen to the panel cast. Last bit of news I wanted to talk about real quick before we go. ZKS. That's our comic book that we've been working on for the past year. Justin has finished the pencils on the Zero issue. It will be collaborated together and put out and printed by the time of Independent Comic Week, as well as the second Sunday of December, where we will be at the Rose Bowl Comic Convention selling it. So if you get a chance, come see it. Come pick it up. It'll be awesome. The 24-hour comic version of ZKS that we did, called ZKS Origins, will be available for download on the website in the next couple of weeks. We will also be having it on us at the convention, and it will be sold at Four Color Comics during the Independent Comic Week. So if you get a chance, please, please, please pick up our comic book. This is our baby that we've been trying for so long to get out. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have to say for this week. Brian, I'll leave it to you.
I just want to say that, hey, everybody, just to let you know, there is going to be new Geek Girls episodes coming out. I just recorded another one. It's in the editing right now, so be looking forward for Geek Girls episode 6. And I still have more lined up, and I'll just keep doing them. I'm trying to get them more done on a more regular basis. I'm also thinking about seeing if I can maybe get one of the girls to come on as a regular commentator. So that might be good. Maybe even see if we can get some of the Geek Girls to do some guest spots on the Forbidden Panel cast. And if anybody out there wants to be on it, please tell Brian with a Y at ForbiddenPanel.com.
Yeah, so we're doing real good on the website too, guys. We got 50,000 hits in the middle of October. The month isn't even over yet. So we're looking at doubling our numbers coming in. So really appreciate everybody being on the site and checking us out. As we would really like it if you guys would post comments and talk to us, but we can understand that. Check out Janelle's new column on Arkham Asylum that she put up last night. It's pretty in-depth and pretty cool. It's nice to see it from a girl's point of view. Please remember to visit our friends, 4colorfantasies.com, girlsdrawinggirls.com, hightowercomics.com, necrosapien.net. We'll be back next week with episode 43. Brian, if you want to say goodbye.
Have a good night, everybody.
Take it easy, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.